Hello everyone, and welcome to the Cure Panel Talk Show on Multiple Myeloma. I'm Priya Menon, Scientific Media Editor at Cure Talk, and along with the Cure Talk team of Sharib Khan and Chintan Patel, I welcome all of you this afternoon to a discussion on multiple myeloma. As always, we will be moderating the call and bringing people live on the show. Cure Panel Talk Show is organized by Cure Talk, the blog of TrialX.com, an online platform to connect patients to clinical trials of new treatments. For information on clinical trials for all conditions, please visit TrialX.com/ask. And for information about clinical trials on myeloma, please visit MMRF site myelomatrials.org. This is the 16th episode of the Cure Panel Talk Show and the 10th time we're discussing multiple myeloma on this platform. Our panel discussion broadcasts have received over 97,000 replays, and today's show has been selected to be featured on Block Talk Radio. Before we begin today's show, I would like to remind everyone that our live on-air myeloma support group meeting for the month of June is scheduled for Thursday the 27th. And the next Cure Panel discussion of myeloma will feature Dr. Shaji Kumar from Mayo Clinic and is scheduled for July the 25th. Today's panel is co-hosted by myeloma survivor and blogger Matt Goldman. Matt was diagnosed with multiple myeloma in May 2011 and is currently undergoing treatment under Dr. James Berenson. Matt documents his myeloma journey on his blog, mattvsmyeloma.com. Welcome to the show, Matt. It is with immense pleasure, honor, and awe that I welcome Don Baylor to the Cure Panel Talk Show. Donald Edwards.
Did we lose Priya?
I lost Priya.
Okay, well, as long as everyone else, this is Matt Goldman. Hi, everybody. As long as we're here, why don't we get going until Priya can get back on. As Priya said, I'm Matt Goldman. I was diagnosed May 2nd, 2011. Dr. Berenson is my doctor. And yesterday, in fact, I had maintenance chemo, so my voice is a little bit hoarse. I apologize for that. Anyhow, I'm not sure excited is the right word here, but I've been looking forward to this panel discussion for a while. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We have a really great group of people on today. The panel today, what we're going to talk about, this is kind of a continuation of a subject that we discussed a few months ago on Cure Talk about balancing myeloma and managing your health and careers. And during that panel, we discussed stress and got into the impact of it and managing it. Pat Killingsworth, who's also a blogger and an author, and a myeloma survivor, was on that panel, and he had some interesting thoughts about how he saw the impact of stress. So we invited him back today. We also have Dr. James Berenson, who's a myeloma specialist here in Los Angeles, and he's also the founder of the Institute of Myeloma and Blood Cancer Research. And then last but not least, as Priya mentioned, is we have Don Baylor, who is a myeloma survivor, current hitting coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks, 1979 American League MVP for the Angels, and 1995 National League Manager of the Year for the Rockies. So like I said, we have a great panel. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Our goal today is to talk with the panelists, and I'll be asking questions of the panelists maybe for about 45 minutes, and then we'll try to spend about 15 minutes on listener questions, and hopefully we can fit it all in. So before we get started on the real questions, let me just have each of the panelists introduce themselves. Don, why don't you lead off maybe and just
okay.
Tell us.
Don Baylor here. I'm an author of, I'm not a blogger, but I'm an author, baseball book. But I was diagnosed in 2003. And I've had treatment at Sloan Kettering, New York, currently at the City of Hope in Duarte in California. So my doctor out there is Dr. Foreman, in which I've really stayed on top of it with the travel thing. So, you know, every trip we go into Los Angeles, always make an appointment there. So I definitely stay on top of taking care of it, especially because of the travel that we do have, late nights and things like that. So we can talk about that a little bit more later.
Okay. Thanks. Pat, how about you? Just a little brief summary of your diagnosis, date, and your treatment.
Sure. And thanks, Matt. I was diagnosed in 2007, and working backwards, as a matter of fact, I'm stuck in traffic. I was just seeing my myeloma specialist, Dr. Alcina, Melissa Alcina at Moffitt Cancer Center, and she was running an hour late, so that's stressful. You know you're going on air and you're stuck in traffic, but the news was great. My myeloma was stable for the third cycle, the third three-month cycle in a row. So I was really pleased about that. And I've had a stem cell transplant. And everything's going great. I look forward to the next hour.
Good. Congratulations on the positive report.
Matt,
Dr. Barron,
thank you so much. Matt, thank you so very much for stepping in. I apologize. I got I dropped my call. I'm calling in from India, so I think I'm back now. Matt, thank you so very much for taking over just in time. I would like to actually welcome Dr. James Berenson once again onto Cure Panel Talk Show. Dr. Berenson, thank you so much for taking time out and being here with us. Dr. Berenson is founder director of Institute of Myeloma and Bone Cancer Research, located in West Hollywood. He specializes in research related to myeloma and metastatic bone disease. Welcome to the show, Dr. Berenson. And Pat has been with us throughout the Cure Panel Talk Show, supporting us. Pat is a myeloma blogger and survivor and a noted myeloma author. Hi, Pat, and welcome to the show. Matt, thank you so very much for taking over. You may please continue.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Priya. Don and Pat have already introduced themselves, and I thought Dr. Berenson could just give a quick introduction of yourself and kind of your philosophy for treatment even.
Yeah, I think this is Dr. Berenson. I've been working on myeloma for about three decades, both in the laboratory and clinically. I was actually inspired to work on it by a cousin who developed it back in the mid-80s. And I've been trying to get therapy into patients that, as I like to say, allows them to live a complete life, not necessarily a complete remission, which in myeloma patients isn't always meaning that the disease is gone. And our philosophy is really that, to give patients the longest life possible with the least impact from the treatment, not only the disease, and I think we often forget about that. All right, I guess I'll leave it at that for now.
All right, thanks, Doctor. Let's get to the real heart of the matter here. Don, again, going to you. You mentioned that with what you do, your job's pretty stressful, a lot of travel, busy schedules, competition, all that. How, and you mentioned that you, whenever you're in L.A., you visit your doctors and make sure everything's good. When you're on the road, or even when you're at home for games, how do you handle the stress with your job in relation to staying on top of your myeloma?
Well, stress has been a part of my life for being in sports is forever. You know, is either managing or playing to deal with it when you have myeloma. I mean, it's still stress, but not where. Where it was as a player, put it that way, or if you're managing a club, just the stress dealing with writers and things where your stomach is tied up in knots from time to time. I don't have that kind of stress. That really is no different. I mean, it's that part of it is just okay. The travel part is a little bit different because you know, we get in late at night a lot of times, or early morning some places. So the travel, I've done that kind of all my life. So the difference is what I felt is the anemia part earlier. You know, I just didn't know what was causing it until I discovered that I had myeloma, you know, myeloma. So I get my monthly labs and get checked all the time. So I'm on a drug called Revlimid. I just blanked out there, Revlimid. So, and I do the dexamethasone once a week. But that's, so far, that's really kind of kept me stable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think your attitude towards the stress of the job has changed a little bit since your diagnosis?
Well, I have two granddaughters, 5 and 2, so that's pretty much been my attitude as far as, you know, just your diet and things like that, and, you know, looking ahead, I just kind of look, you know, at their lives. I'd like to be around and, you know, be healthy and be around them. So, you know, that's kind of some of my workout regimens. You know, sometimes you don't want to work out, get your bike in or you're walking in and things like that. So I do stay active, even though I'm not a player any longer.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Pat, how about you? Your comments on our recent call kind of prompted this panel discussion, some of your thoughts on stress. And it seemed like you thought stress didn't necessarily have a negative impact on your health. And actually, unless I interpreted what you said wrong, it sounded like you thought it might even, in your case, sort of be helpful having the stress of doing what you do, that it keeps you active and keeps your mind sharp. Can you just explain that a little bit more?
Sure, of course. And you know, you read that you're not supposed to, you know, that stress is bad if you have cancer, and then you get stressed because you're trying not to be stressed. And instead of worrying all of that, I found that that it actually helps me. You know, it helps you get out of bed in the morning. It helps you if you're not feeling good, if you're sore, if you're tired, if you're fatigued. It helps keep you going. So I think it's, you know, I think there are advantages to at least living an active, engaged life. And if you do that, of course, there are going to be times that you're under stress. I've been dying to ask Don about how he managed, you know, flying from city to city to deal with ongoing treatment. Of course, you know, if he's fortunate enough to be taking Revlimid, which is an oral chemotherapy, I can see how he could do that. Don, have you been on Revlimid the entire time from when you were diagnosed back in 2003?
No. It was, I have my other half of my existence is my wife is my number one caregiver. She's sitting right here next to me, so she has a book file of things that I was on. And, so,
same with my wife.
Yeah, if you all don't mind, I might jump in from time to time just to help him with the details. Is it?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Thank you. My name's Becky.
Okay. Thanks, Becky.
He really started the Revlimid post-transplant. So he had an autologous cell stem transplant in 2004, and 2 to 3 years after that went on the regimen of Revlimid and dexamethasone. Also had Aredia infusions intermittently for a number of years after that, but he's no longer on the Aredia or any of the infusions. It's simply strictly the pill form, the oral chemo. And, you know, we've sort of tinkered a little bit with the dosage on that, but that's where we are right now, which has maintained him pretty well, kept him pretty stable.
Good. Glad to hear it. Dr. Berenson, as someone who treats myeloma patients every day, what's your position or thoughts on stress? The stress from everyday life, stress from your patients trying to work. What's your feelings on that in terms of managing myeloma and sort of managing cancer in general?
Well, I don't think we have really good studies about the effect of stress on myeloma and other cancers, unfortunately. I'm certainly a big believer that these things contribute to poor outcome. But to tell you we have objective studies to say that case is really not true. And unfortunately, many of the drugs we use only heighten the stress. Drugs such as steroids certainly have profound effects on mood. Drugs such as thalidomide and the IMiDs, and certainly Velcade to some extent, maybe Carprolis as well, or carfilzomib, do affect mental function. And it's clear that we as oncologists have not done a very good job of dealing with that. So, you know, I think we all live a stressful life, but I must confess that we don't have good studies either showing that it causes it, makes the disease get worse. We just don't have the data.
Okay. I know about the steroids and the Dex. I'm feeling it today.
Well, certain days, you know, with the dexamethasone, I know earlier when I was taking it, you know, I could sleep for a couple of hours. It keeps me up late at night. Then next day, you know, next morning you want to wash the car and things at 2 or 3 in the morning, and it kind of wears off, and maybe the third day you're kind of punky, you know, like, but I've gotten through that point of it. That's when I was taking it once a month. Now it's once a week. I kind of know what to expect, and I get a good night's sleep on top of that. So,
It seems like from my experience, we sort of learn how to deal with the ups and the downs that come with the energy or lack of energy from the steroids. Sticking with you, Don, when you were first diagnosed, or even during your initial treatment or your transplant, was there ever time that you considered not returning to baseball because you just thought it wouldn't be good for you, or did that thought never even cross your mind?
It never crossed my mind because I had Mel Stollermeyer, the ex-major league player. Also, he was at that time he was a pitching coach for New York Yankees, and he was the one that really talked me through it. You know, I had somebody I could call who actually had multiple myeloma. And, you know, he talked me through it. You know, he did a World Series with myeloma and things. And so I really had that positive feedback from him, just kind of, you know, just deal with it and see what happens. And Mel is living up in the northwest right now. He's back to spinning things. So he's had it probably I think he was diagnosed like 1999 or so, you know, that far back. So he's doing okay.
Great. Thanks. Pat, given your sort of current view about getting up every day and, you know, the stress and activity is good for you and keeps you active and your brain working, what's changed? Or have there been changes on your view on sort of de-stressifying your life, if you will, from before your diagnosis to how you live your life now?
Exactly. Sure. And I do notice that I do become stressed more easily now. So I try to simplify. It doesn't always work. But things that I used to just brush off get to me, seem to get to me now. So I guess all you can do is try to stay organized, you know, keep a clean workspace, follow tips that seem to be common sense. But, you know, if you're living a normal, crazy life like we all do, it may not matter. But when every little thing seems to get to you, some of those small basic things probably make a difference. I will tell you that it's inspirational to know that a baseball superstar goes through the exact same deck cycle that you and I do, Matt.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry you've got to go through that, Don, but and I also want to share that I have a good friend named Richard who is a huge fan. And he loved Mr. Stottlemyre's book, and had mentioned that. And you've both been inspirations to a lot of us in the myeloma community. And I know as I described and asked you about your treatment, I want to apologize. Some of us almost live and breathe multiple myeloma 24/7, for better or worse. And your reaction, or having to ask your wife or your caregiver about maybe a treatment 5 years ago and what you did or didn't do, that is something that I would expect. We're just myeloma geeks. How's that for?
I'm glad for that. You know.
So I apologize if I felt like I was putting you on the spot.
No, not at all. You know, she's kept me on the right track as far as you know, appointments and things. You know, she says, okay, you're doing this, blood draw. You know, because once you get, you know, wrapped up in the sport that we play, you know, my quote every year is, you know, we interrupt this marriage for the baseball season. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. You just kind of think, but she's right there with me doing my other things for me.
There you go,
yeah.
Matt. A good caregiver is the number one stress reducer.
Yes, exactly.
I was just thinking that myself, and Dr. Berenson would know very well about the role of my wife / caregiver. She keeps me organized and on target with what I need to eat, what I need to do physically, what I need to do mentally. She doesn't mess around, which is, I think, what we all need.
Earlier, when we were going through this, there was a bunch of myeloma patients there without a caregiver, and I just said I wouldn't know where to go or who to talk to or whatever, you know. So she's been a tremendous asset, you know, that you don't have to have all that stress running around doing those things yourself, you know, all the time.
Right. Even dealing with insurance, I don't even worry about that. I leave that in her hands.
Exactly.
Back to you, Dr. Berenson. And you kind of touched on this a little bit. When you have a new patient, and again, you're my doctor, and I experienced this, and one of the reasons why I liked your approach was your philosophy about living a complete life. But kind of if you could tell the listeners, when you get a new patient, and given your thoughts about that there's no real study on stress and the impact, what do you tell your new patients about how to handle everything stress-wise, career-wise, activity-wise, how to handle it all, while also, and most importantly, managing their health?
Well, I think that my big thing is to maintain your life, not to get riled up in the fact that the disease overtakes your ability to function. And you're not, as my good friend Jacob, who had dinner last night, who was my mentor and now a lymphoma survivor for over 30 years, said, it's not about taking care of the myeloma or the cancer, he had lymphoma. It's not about taking care of the patient, it's about taking care of the person. And my favorite picture is down the hall of my patient, Jeff, who was in clinic today, when he was on a clinical trial at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro with his wife, an orthopedic surgeon, coincidentally. And he's living his life. He's traveling. He's functioning. He's had myeloma for many years. He's trying to not let it get in his way. He's now on a trial with carfilzomib. So, I mean, my job is to keep people functioning in terms of their lifestyle, their family style, their work style. You know, I think that this is a key in terms of keeping people in the game. And I think if you look at the data, people who can maintain their quality of life live longer. Now, you could argue that's because they feel better, therefore they do more because they're doing well, or is it the tail wagging the dog? Which way is it? I don't really know. But I don't believe that patients should be, if you will, babied through their disease. And I really try to push people to be active, to stay active.
Right. And like I said, when I first met you, that I really appreciated your philosophy and your attitude. And I think I would also add, sort of touching on what Pat said, that when I was first diagnosed, I really wanted to go on the internet and read about success stories and read about people who were thriving. And Don, for me too, you were actually one of the first people I read about. And it was real important to see how great you were doing and what your attitude was.
Well, back in 2003, to try to go on the internet to find out some things about myeloma or go to a bookstore and try to read about, and it was just nothing there. That was more stressful than anything. And then I picked up the phone and called Mel Stottlemyre and got more from him. You know, just the outlook was more positive than anything I could do at the time.
Right. So I think we would all agree that not only...
Well, you should chime in, Matt, this is Dr. Berenson, what you were able to do recently. Pretty amazing. Tell them about your little trip up to Seattle.
Probably the second
amazing feat, Matt will tell you.
I did recently. I had done this. There's a thing called the Big Climb up in Seattle that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society puts on, and it's climbing the stairs of a 70-story building all to raise money for that organization. And I had done it maybe 6 years ago when I was healthy, and actually, frankly, I didn't really even know what the LLS was. It just sounded like a fun event. 2 months ago, about a week before my two-year anniversary, I gave it another shot. I went up there and did it again and had Team Goldman with me, family and friends, and they stuck with me. I'm a lot slower than I ever was before, but I just keep on focusing on moving, and I made it all the way up, and I wasn't going into it. I was nervous if I wasn't going to do it. I was nervous if I could make it, but I did, and it was probably in this whole journey the most exciting thing for me is to have that success. And like Dr. Berenson was saying, I think it was really important for my mindset to know that I could still do stuff like that. I can still do physical things. I maybe, you know, again, I'm older anyways, but, you know, I'm not doing things as quickly or as intensely as I used to, but I still do them.
Congratulations.
Hey, you're doing pretty darn good, Matt. I can say that, Dr. B here.
Well,
it's a great attitude that you have to have, you know, number one. You know, it's, and I think if you sit around, you know, feel for yourself and a lot of sympathy, I think, to me, that's more stressful than anything. You know, if you think about just living your life and doing the things that you can do and you want to do, I think you're a lot better off. That's always kind of been my attitude. You know, I'll deal with the disease and, you know, just keep living my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I almost feel like an old, 26 months into this, I almost feel like an old timer, but I think that's a really great message, though, for newly diagnosed patients to keep active. And I think also having a caregiver that you can rely on, but also having like you had, Don, and like us others have had, is to have someone else who has experienced these things that you could turn to get bounce things off of, because there's just the stress of the mystery of it all could be overwhelming, and having positive role models, I think, is really important. Which brings me to another question for you, Don. In terms of your future in baseball, I'm sort of curious if you sort of personally see any limitations on what your choices would be in baseball because of your myeloma or because of the stress involved. You know, would you see managing in your future, or is that something that you want to avoid because you have a really good routine right now with what you do?
Oh, I do not want to avoid managing again. I like to do that again. I've dealt with stress before, and I don't think it's a problem as far as with myeloma. You know, there's managers out there, coaches, guys have prostate cancer and things. My stress is no different than other guys. So to deal with that, managing, I like to stay in the game. You know, I've been in the game just about all my life. So it's not a problem for me.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind me asking, do you think there's any sort of perception about your capabilities based on your myeloma?
Possibly, but I can't say who has shied away or whatever. You know, I don't know that for a fact.
But you just try and do the best that you can do and hope people notice, right?
That's all I've ever been able to do. I've dealt with it openly, more than anything else. Than most people probably would have, but that's just the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Great. Pat, how about you sort of looking forward in what you do? Do you see limitations, or are you making decisions that you might not have made about what you do every day or how you picture your future based on just knowing that myeloma is in the background and that you need to sort of avoid certain circumstances, or do you just do what you've always wanted to do?
Sure, and it sounds like Don was fortunate that they caught his myeloma before there was much bone involvement, bone damage. Unfortunately, I'm sure I had myeloma for 3, 4, even 5 years before I was diagnosed, so I was... I had a lot of bone damage, and it's caused some pain and some difficulties. But I recently, following sick, I had a very short remission. We all got excited. It lasted 10 weeks, and the myeloma came back and was gaining some momentum. And fortunately, we've been able to knock it back. So after 6 months of stable disease, I made the decision to go ahead and get my hip replaced. So it's been just 6 weeks that I had a hip replacement, and I've got to tell you, not having having less pain and being able to get around better, I can tell already it was a great decision, and it was a decision made looking forward. You know, if I thought I had a year left, you probably don't want to go through the pain and inconvenience of having a hip replaced, right? But I could see out farther than that, and I went ahead, and I think it's one of the best things I ever did, and I think agreeing with everybody, looking forward, staying positive, and trying to do as much as you can do with what you've got is probably the best any of us can do, and I think it helps keep you moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, the belief and the dedication that we have from our doctors are just more important than anything. That's when you walk out of the doctor's office and it's not the doom and gloom, it's the
right.
Looking ahead. So the doctors that work on this, you know, I can't get enough respect for them and what they would like to do. I mean, it's a disease that can be maintained with and live with, and you know, they're on top of it, everything. So I, you know, my hat's off to them who do all the work and you know, dealing with the patients.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for me, and this might be the deck speaking, but I love my doctors. I think they're all amazing, and I think none of us could do what we're doing without them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, the work they have to do. I mean, Dr. Berenson, you know, go figure, you get cancer and you find a new career, and now as a medical journalist, I travel to these meetings, these oncology and hematology meetings and conferences, and Dr. Berenson is there presenting, taking notes, meeting, conferring with his, you know, with other physicians and researchers in the lobby and over lunch, and there's a lot of travel and a lot of extra work. And right there, I know at Dr. Berenson's clinic, Dr. Berenson, you might talk about how you're doing research right there in your offices. And it's just a lot of work, and I think I speak for Matt when we all say thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think what's unique about our setting is I was at the university for 20 years, and the slowness with which things got done was pretty frustrating. So we set up our own institute with several grateful patient donors, and we're able to accomplish the ability to see about 30 patients a day, 150 a week with myeloma. And then in addition, we have our own basic lab where we garner a lot of materials, bone marrow, blood from patients to study new drugs, new ways to follow myeloma. We just uncovered a new serum marker, which I think is going to be an important one to follow myeloma. And importantly, we have the ability to do clinical trials throughout many sites around the country through our clinical trials unit, Oncotherapeutics. And this allows us to translate the lab into the clinic very rapidly. And there's nothing more heartening than seeing patients with myeloma that can't be measured anymore, and that 7 or 8 years ago we were literally tinkering with, first in the laboratory in the test tube with myeloma cells, then in mice growing patients' tumors, in live animals with human myeloma showing that it was effective, and then going to the companies and saying, let's do trials, and then seeing all that success. It's just great.
Yeah.
Great. Before we get to some listener questions, just for you three panelists, Don first, is there anything else you wanted to add before we get to some more questions?
You said you were in an oncologist meeting recently. Is that the one in Chicago? That's all the noise I heard there at the Westin in Chicago. All you guys were there. It was a weekend. I think they had about 30,000 in Chicago at the time. So I know they're out there working and trying to get the best possible data on myeloma and all the other blood diseases that are out there.
That's right. We were out there trying to get it all figured out, and we still have a way to go. I think the future of myeloma therapy...
I think we just, Dr. Berenson has just dropped his call. Don, like, it's wonderful to have you here. Don, do you think that myeloma medications or treatment has ever come between you and your game?
No, not at all, you know, because I can schedule.
That's wonderful to hear. Yeah,
I can do my scheduling the way I need to, but as far as medication taken, you know, I make sure I get the proper rest and things when I do take my drugs. They're normally at night where I can get 6-7 hours of sleep.
Oh, that's great. How has your team supported you throughout your transplant, stem cell transplant, and treatment?
Back when I was diagnosed with the New York Mets, they were great. you know, I just missed probably a couple of weeks, 3 weeks of spring training, and they were wonderful about it. You know, Fred Wilpon, the owner there, I just took the time in spring training and came back. I was fine, and that's the only time I've missed. And that was just spring training games. So I have not missed a game at all because of myeloma.
Wow. So when you did your transplant, you only missed 3 weeks of spring training. That was it?
That's it.
Wow.
I told my doctor, I said, okay, this is the date that I want to be here in spring training, you know. So I just mentally, you know, just set that date more than anything.
I think the transplant was February 5th, and he was reported to spring training middle of March, towards the end of March. And,
wow.
And didn't miss a day after.
Or since.
Or since. Yeah, and I think that's a great message for patients to hear because, again, it's all such a mystery. And just hearing other people's experiences, I think, is super helpful in managing the whole thing.
And there's probably, I know other myeloma people out there have done just about the same thing I've done. So I don't consider myself any special person, but I just follow my doctor's orders and stay on top of things and get my regular exercise and deal with it.
Right. Pat or Dr. B, is there anything else that you wanted to add or ask of the other panelists before we get to listener questions?
No, I lost you for a minute, but. it's very. I think the big thing, the really overriding message now is myeloma patients live for a really long time, and as I like to say, it's now a marathon, and you need to run the marathon and finish the race. And in the 90s, you were running sprint races, unfortunately. So I like to let you finish the race.
I like that.
I like that too.
Love that, doctor.
Yeah. Yep. Didn't ask for anything more. Priya, I think we're ready for some listener questions. Do you want to handle that or do you want me to?
Okay. No, I'll do that. Thank you so much, Matt. Callers, if you have a question for our panel, please press 1 on your keypads and we can bring you live on air to ask your question. Callers, listeners can press 1 on their keypads and we can bring you live on air to ask your questions. Yes, we have a caller online. The person calling in from 248354, please ask your question.
354 is Brenda Jenkins.
Yes, you're on.
I'm a myeloma patient, and I just think this program is awesome. I love to talk with other survivors. I personally know Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Brenda.
And Matt, I didn't hear when did you get multiple myeloma?
I was diagnosed May 2nd, 2011.
2011?
May 11, 2011. May 2nd, 2011. So I'm coming up on 26 months in about a week and a half.
Fantastic. Like I say, I just love listening. I've been listening, and I love listening to the program. And, Don, I cannot believe after 3 weeks you were out and at it, and that is not normal. I'm sorry.
Well, they've always said I'm not normal, so that's okay.
Okay. Well, that's all I had. I didn't have a specific question. I just want to commend you, all of you, for having this program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. We have another caller online. Caller from 904-992. Please ask your question.
Hi, Priya. This is Gary Peterson.
Hi, Gary. Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Good. You've got a great program, Matt, going here.
Thanks, Gary.
I'm actually overjoyed at some of the stories that Don and Pat and you are coming up with, because I know that I wasn't quite you know, as mobile, and you know, I didn't feel as though I had all my faculties, you know, as far as, you know, I used to have a very trying job with travel all over the place, and I just didn't feel, you know, because of my kidney failure and a few other things, that I just couldn't do it. But, you know, one other thing is any time, you know, it's kind of stress, what stress? You're told, at least when I was there, you know, 7 years ago, that you're going to die in just 3 to 5 years, that it's going to be a painful death because your bones are all going to fall apart, you know, that you have to live in a bubble because you have no immune system, that your jaw is going to fall out, that you're going to have nonstop diarrhea, you're going to lose your hair, you're going to have digestive tract slough off painfully during a stem cell transplant, you're going to have millions in medical bills, your kidneys and heart can fail, and you may get a stroke with a stem cell transplant. You will turn into a human petri dish, meaning that you have no immune system, you know, kind of et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess my...
Don't hold back, Gary.
Well, and to think, you know, as you guys talk about it, you really are a bunch of hard asses, I got to tell you. because you never even mention all that stuff. You know, you're just saying, "Oh, I just punch through it," you know? And my hat's off to you guys. It really is. And I know that Pat was doing all that, but Don, you being a professional baseball and flying all over the place and making that whole, you know, you're nuts.
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
But very, very strong, you know, unbelievably strong. I think you're the Iron Man, you know.
But at any event, some of those things that you talked about, you know, your hair falling out and all those things. You know, I told the nurse, I said, okay, let me shave it off, because if I shave it off and it doesn't come back, I don't have anyone else to blame except me. But it all came back. So, you know, those things you get through, you just punch through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are amazing. You really are. But my question to Dr. Berenson, hey, Dr. Berenson, do you have a few wussies that you treat? That may require a little extra care, meaning that, you know, are there, how many patients do you treat that require therapy, whether it's, you know, with a psychiatrist or with antidepressants?
Yeah. Well, I think that one mistake that's often made is that we don't talk to patients about these issues. Or the other thing, it's an automatic reflex that, oh, you have myeloma, you must be depressed, you need to be on Prozac. And I won't name names, but one of my patients who went down to see a famous cancer or myeloma expert was told that he takes Prozac and all his patients must take Prozac if they're seeing him. Hey, that's not my philosophy. My philosophy is get active, do stuff, you'll probably be able to get through it. But certainly I have a marked number of patients who do see psychologists and psychiatrists, and I'm a big supporter of that. I think we often forget about that, not only as the patient, believe it or not, as the caregiver, not only the caregiver's spouse like Don Baylor's wife, but the doctors, the nurses. It's pretty tough at times. But I don't think we should pretend to be psychiatrists. And many of my colleagues hand out Celexa, Prozac. Effects are like water, and that's just not a good thing to do. These are drugs that need superb inner help. Now, I will add something very interesting in, however. I think many of these drugs cause significant fatigue and mental dysfunction, and we have just completed a randomized trial with a placebo or sugar water control, and we should have the data shortly with a drug called Nuvigil. You may have heard of Ritalin being used for hyperactive kids. This is a drug that helps your energy, and there's another drug called Provigil. Both are approved, and we think these drugs help immensely with fatigue, which I think today is the number one problem with myeloma. It's mental dysfunction and fatigue. It's no longer bone disease, which happens to be the area many of you know I'm an expert on, but the number one problem right now is the effects of the disease long-term and the treatment on mental function. We do not deal with that. We need to deal with that.
Very Very good. Well, thank you. One of the things I always, I was told when I was getting my treatment that I needed 30 minutes a day, and I kind of had my own little saying that 30 minutes a day to keep the cancer at bay, and I think that it helped, physically and mentally.
Yeah. But Dr. Behrens is right. I mean, I went on Prozac when I was diagnosed, and I'm actually at the point where I want to wean myself off of it. I don't think it's necessary at this point.
So you want to be a wiener?
I probably already am.
This is Don again. Those energy drinks and caffeine, we're around all those things daily, and I've never been a coffee drinker, and I've never been one of those energy drink things, but when I did discover I had myeloma, where it came from energy, I was out walking one day in Florida spring training, and I said, okay, now how am I going to get back? That was the only time that I really kind of felt like, there's something wrong with my energy level. So, but I still to this day, I just don't, shy away from all of those energy drinks and caffeine to try to keep you up all the time. That's not how I do it. I do it with
Iron Man.
I do it with diet and exercise.
Yeah, I also went, when I was diagnosed, I went cold turkey on caffeine. I haven't had any caffeine in almost 26 months. And I think it's better. You avoid kind of the ups and downs of the high and the low that you get from that.
Yeah, I had another question. If you can take somebody else and then come back to me, or if there's time.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary. Thank you so much. We can move on to some of the submitted questions. We've got a lot of questions from participants who have registered for the program. Ed here wants to know, how much impact does stress have on relapse? Dr. Berenson, I think maybe you can answer this. How much impact does stress have on relapse?
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't have any good data on this. So question is the stress causing the relapse, or is the relapse causing stress? It's very hard to separate those out. I just don't think we have good data and any objective studies. I'm certainly a big believer to keep stress at a minimum, but that's a belief system. That's not based on scientific study. So I must confess, we just don't have the data to tell you that keeping stress away keeps the oncologist drugs away. I mean, I just, for relapse, I don't know the answer. I wish I did. It's just not clear.
Jack here wants to know, as a 10-year survivor, what is the number one recommendation you would make to a newly diagnosed patient? Somebody who's newly diagnosed.
There's so much hope out there that hope was a small kind of window in the very beginning when I was diagnosed. I just didn't know the things that are in the pipeline today that they were not in the pipeline in 2003. So there's a tremendous hope out there that you can maintain a normal life than before.
Yeah. Matt, I think this one you can handle. How to manage stress in a very stressful and demanding job? Danielle wants to know.
For Matt?
Yeah.
I think on one hand, and this was a question I asked Don, I think on one hand my attitude towards stress and stress of the job has changed. I think the myeloma makes you realize that other things are more important and getting a little bothered about things in your job. I mean, I'm 51, so I have to work. There's not a question about that. And I like working. It's a good escape from thinking about myeloma. I don't want to sit around and think about it all day. But I think, like I said, on one hand, I think my attitude towards it has changed, and I'm much sort of calmer, and it doesn't bother me as much. And I think, secondly, I think having to be so diligent
And like Don was saying, or having to be a lot more organized than I ever had to, just in my personal life and how I deal with my cancer, I think that's kind of translated into how I view my job. I think I'm much more systematic about how I do work, and if issues arise and there's a stressful situation, I think I'm much more thoughtful, sort of taking the life lessons I've learned from my Loma, I've kind of applied that to my job as well. And that's one of the things I put in my blog is, I think, strangely enough, I'm a way better worker and do a much better job than I ever did before all this, and less stressed about it as well.
Okay. Pat, this one's for you. Could you discuss how you manage the stress of doing myeloma right? Dealing with insurance issues, keeping track of numbers, updating patient history, making appointments, reading abstracts, and multiple myeloma blogs and tweets, along with answering questions from anxious family friends. How do you keep it balanced for yourself?
Well, I'm stressed just listening to that list. I guess I never... I think, like I said before, you try to stay organized. You try to do as much as you can when you feel up to doing it. You compartmentalize some, you know, common sense, the cliches that you hear. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around that. That does sound pretty overwhelming.
Dr. Berenson, Achilles wants to know, he's diagnosed with multiple myeloma a month ago. I have no complications as such, and I'm feeling absolutely fine. I have no pain in any of my bones, and I'm living a normal life. I'm 36 years old and have started treatment. What is my possibility of survival in this case?
Well, you know, it's hard to know without knowing a lot of other things, your blood count,
yeah.
Your kidney count. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I can't tell you without actually seeing you, but, you know, it may be that, you know, if you actually have indolent myeloma, you may actually, in fact, never require treatment. That's a possibility, or just bisphosphonate like Sometra or Ridia. But I can tell you that your chances of living a ripe old life are a lot better now than they were 10 years ago. The average survival of myeloma patients today in our clinic is measured not in just a matter of a few years, but in decades. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, another one, Dr. Berenson. What can be done for the stress from the neuropathy from medications?
Well, I think that's a really important area that's often glossed over by my colleagues. I think modifying the dose down and modifying the schedule, making it, for example, longer with Velcade, giving 1 instead of 1.3, I think can be quite successful with the myeloma and yet leave the patient with much less risk of neuropathy, the subcutaneous dosing as well with that drug. We use a lot of alpha-lipoic acid as a neuroprotectant. We think it is very, very helpful to reduce the risk of peripheral neuropathy, or if you already have it, that over-the-counter will reduce its severity, but we don't really have a good objective study showing that. We push the companies to try and do that, but they have not been particularly interested in supporting those studies. But as I say, I do think that neuro, whether it's central in the way of confusion or peripheral neuropathy with numbness, tingling, pain in hands and feet, these are the major problems today with myeloma, and we really need to focus on how to reduce their severity and their impact on quality of life on our patients.
Thank you, Dr. Berenson. There's quite an interesting question here. When I read what various cancer authorities say about diet, I find the restrictions very stressful. How does one strike a balance? Pat, maybe you could answer this.
Well, that's why I like to stay busy. I really think, like everyone has said before, you know, living your life so that you don't obsess over it, It's like a downward spiral, right? So the best thing you could do, or a riptide, you've got to swim to the side until you can break out. And I think if you stress over it, it's just going to get worse. So my solution is I try to stay as busy as I can. Now it happens that it's about myeloma, which someone would say is crazy, but I'm able to compartmentalize the two. When I could be working on a book about baseball. It just so happens I'm, say, writing a book about myeloma, or I'm blogging about myeloma, but I'm still able to separate the two, although sometimes it is a little difficult and it crosses over.
Yeah. And this is Matt. Let me just add about diet, because I had severe kidney damage right away. I mean, that was one of my symptoms. And so my diet was really restricted, and it really pissed me off at first, what I couldn't eat. But it becomes, like everything with this, it becomes kind of routine, and you just get used to it, and you know what you can and can't eat. And I've actually luckily been able to add a few foods back into my diet, and to make it a little bit of a game in my own mind as I sort of set a target date on when I'm going to eat a certain kind of food. You know I still need to be careful and avoid certain things, but I'll set a target date 3 weeks down the road when I'm going to indulge in something. And it kind of going along with what Pat says, it keeps you sort of focused on looking ahead.
And Matt, you made a great point.
Yeah.
You need to be patient, and that's so difficult and so easy to say. But, you know, if it looks like the world is going to end, and as anyone with multiple myeloma has had to deal with the ups and the downs, the roller coaster ride where everything seems dark, and then 3 or 6 months later, you feel like you were never sick at all. And patience. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I just think it's difficult, but try to be patient. Take it one day at a time, and hopefully things will get better.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Don. Thing that I never really considered a whole lot was just the hydration you have to stay on top of. And my wife has been after me for a long time to hydrate all the time, drink water, water, water. So last 3 months I've been into drinking alkaline water. So just trying to see if that makes a difference. But what it has done for me is that I know I'm going to get my 64 ounces plus every single day because I'm committed to it, and just see if it makes a difference in some of my numbers. Who knows? But that's what I've been doing for the last 3 months.
Everything counts. I drink more water than I ever used to.
Right.
That's great advice.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes, I think we're almost over our time now. It was a wonderful discussion. Dawn and Becky, thank you so very much for taking time out for this discussion. Dr. Berenson, it was great to have
you're
here once again. Thank you. Yeah, Pat and Matt, it was definitely a wonderful discussion. Thank you so much for supporting us in this. Your talk thanks all the listeners and participants. Thank you all for your support, and we look forward to having all of you join us for the next Cure Panel talk show on myeloma. The link for today's show will be shared with all participants. Please send us your feedback, and thank you so very much. It was great having all of you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank the doctor for taking time out today to be with us and give us some great ideas. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Matt. Thanks to all of you for your participation. I think this is really great. And the information you got helps me out and everybody else. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
It was really
thank
great,
you,
Dr.
Berenson.
So
and Don, thank you so much for helping to inspire us today.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Bye.